So our text for this morning's meditation is from Luke chapter 8, these words, "Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it would seem that the devil nowadays would not need to work too hard to take the word of God out of the hearts of people. I mean, it's almost as if nowadays, if our hearts were a garage and we were having a sale of everything within our hearts, the word of God which we find there would end up in a box next to the street with a sign above the box that said, "Free." Being of no value to us. Let's be honest. We don't seem to take much stock in words in general nowadays, do we? In words. I mean, having been so overwhelmed with the ideas of perhaps Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, by popular culture, by the ideas that words really are not as important as raw thoughts, feelings, emotions, experiences, the inner reality of ourselves, more important than an outward expression, we spend our time not looking for the right words, right ways to speak, or say something, but the right gesture, the right physical expression, the right posture or attitude towards this or that or another thing. How many conversations have we had, for example, in which we have not listened? We haven't listened to a word the person is speaking to us has said, but instead we've looked at their face. We've looked at their eyes, their body postures, their hand movements, to really try to figure out what it is that person is trying to communicate to us. It's like we all think we're Pastor Gelbach or something, working with the deaf, with the caveat being that we cannot understand sign language, but we think we can understand the language of the signs of Americans, that is, everything they communicate to us without their words. On top of that, our world has become one of icons that we push to express ourselves. Yes, we receive text messages. What's the emoji at the end? Is it a happy face? Is it a frown? That silent scream from that famous painting? No, the devil doesn't have to work too hard nowadays to remove the word of God from the hearts of people, because it's not like we think word should be there anyway. Give us a couple of icons to click on, a few emojis to share. We're good. And here once again, we're being hypocritical, because in fact, words still do dictate who we are and what we do and how we do it. Sure, we can order countless things online without saying a word to anyone, but when the wrong thing appears in the Amazon box that arrives at the door, then what? Yes, we can thrill at the marvelous handling and pickup of our brand new car, but when flashing lights appear in our rearview mirror, are we going to emote or emoji ourselves out of a ticket? How about that beautiful girl, handsome guy that walked away from us out of our lives in high school or college because we could not find just a few right words to use in talking to them? The interview for a job that went wrong, and a phrase, an expression, the wrong word choice. Dollars to donuts, the pivotal, the essential, the life-shaping moments of our lives were not those of feelings and emotions and even experiences, but moments when we heard certain words, we heard specific words, memorable words, for those words expressed ultimately what was real and what was true and what was right, that is, what really was the situation we found ourselves in. And that, then, is probably why we don't like words. Powerful words. Hard-hitting words. Truth-conveying words. For we think, or have come to think, or would like to think, if only matters can remain unexpressed by words, we need not bother with them, be affected by them, have to deal with them. But of course, we all know, we've all experienced the reality of someone who's a friend, someone we like, someone we might even love. We all know how horrible it is when someone stops using their words. Stops using their words with us. That is, stops talking to us. Ghosting is what they call it nowadays. That is when someone shuts off all communication with us. We know how that feels. We know the reality of someone no longer talking with us. Because if they no longer talk with us, how can we know? How can we know what they think of us? How can we know how they are, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, what's going on inside of them? Sure, we can look at them and we can take a guess about what we see. But it would just be a guess. Their words, yes, their words are what we need to hear. As I've noted before, it's the prophet Amos. Prophet Amos, who points out to us that the very worst thing that could ever happen to us is if God would stop talking to us. If God stopped sharing his words with us. If God stopped speaking with us. God's wrath is never greater, Luther noted one evening as he ate supper with his students in his home. God's wrath is never greater than when he's silent and he doesn't speak to us, but leaves us to follow our own mind and will and do as we please. Oh, dear Lord, punish us with pestilence and with any foul disease rather than by your silence. So Luther. Now, that's the case. The worst thing that could possibly happen to us is that we no longer hear the word of God. Why are we so quick to abandon that word? To disregard it? Even to despise it as something not worthy of our time, our attention, our contemplation? Why do we look at our Bibles not as our most precious possessions, containing as they do the very word of God to us, his speaking to us, and instead shudder at the thought of exposing ourselves to the word of God in any way by opening the covers of those Bibles and reading? Here we're just living in lawlessness, breaking the third commandment, despising the word of God, so that Satan need not come and take it out of our hearts, that word of God. For when he knocks on the doors of our hearts, we gladly open them and hand him every copy of the Bible that we have in our possession. And of course, once the word of God no longer is found there in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit's no longer to be found there, and faith is no longer to be found there, and Jesus, our Savior, is no longer to be found there. So let's repent of our sin and cry out to our Father in heaven like Luther. Anything but that. Anything but that. Continue to speak to us, dear Father in heaven, through your holy word. Send your Spirit into our hearts through your holy word. Proclaim the forgiveness of sin through faith in your Son to us daily through your holy word, so that we believe it and we embrace it and we treasure it for what it is, the power of God for salvation for all who believe. How silly would it be for someone to be hauled before a judge, being accused of a crime, declare that he wasn't guilty because he felt that he was innocent, that his experience was not that of guilt, that he hadn't been traumatized in any way by the events in which he was involved, so he shouldn't be even considered to be guilty because he didn't feel like he was. And what about the opposite situation then? When someone experiences guilt and feels guilt and even knows guilt, and yet is declared to be not guilty. That's our situation. That's our reality. Even in Jesus Christ. Sure, daily we can be troubled by our sins, and no matter how hard we strive in one way or another not to make some sort of misstep, we do. And then the feelings of guilt can be crushing. At that point, the only thing that we'll do is words. Words, the very words of God, the very voice of God, which declares to us, my Son Jesus Christ has suffered the punishment for your sin when he died on the cross. So I declare to you that you are not guilty. You truly are not guilty. Your sins have truly been forgiven. I can truly, in that forgiveness, bless you and keep you. I can truly, in that forgiveness, make my face to shine upon you, that is, smile at you in approval. I can truly, in that forgiveness, lift up my head and look at you in approval and love as my dear child. Now, hearing that, hearing those words, what's destroyed within us but all of our foolish notions and emotions and feelings that would tell us something else than what God's Word actually is declaring to us? And that being the case, why would we allow anyone ever to take the Word of God from us, even Satan himself? And why would we cooperate with that effort with our complacency? Why would we do that? Going through some of my dad's things this last week after his funeral, I was struck by how many of them were completely and totally meaningless and worthless. Junk, really. In drawer after drawer after drawer of his workbench there in his shop. Sure, in the past, they had been of meaning and value to me because they had been of meaning and value to him, to my dad. He knew what that piece of pipe was, and he knew where that old screw belonged, and he knew what that little piece of rubber trim was for. And in the past, I had taken my cue as to their value by his reaction to them and even the fact that he had kept them. But now, with him gone, with him in heaven with Jesus, nothing but junk. Nothing but odds and ends of nothing. But of course, his Bibles, my dad's Bibles, were another matter. Those Bibles, those books full of words, just words, would always, will always have meaning and value because they are, in fact, God's words. No matter what my dad thought about them, or mom, or my siblings, or myself, yes, it is a simple idea. A very simple idea. The words of the Bible are the words of God to us, words to place in our hearts. Words to keep in our hearts. Now, that idea used to be popularly believed, and so the pews and churches would be full every single Sunday, wherever you'd go. Why? That's where the voice of God was. That's where his word was, and it was heard. And yeah, people came along. But people got tired of it. And sure, it was suggested that such tiredness was not a tiredness for the Word of God, but it had to do with the music in the churches that accompanied that Word, or the pews in the churches from which the Word was heard, or the worship in the churches by which the Word was shaped, or whatever. But at the end of the day, it was simply the Word of God, that was the issue. Let's not fall for that. Emptying our hearts of the Word of God, hesitating to fill our hearts with the Word of God, listening to our hearts instead of the Word of God within those hearts. For at the end of the day, God, as Scripture tells us, is greater than our hearts. So should not his Word remain there, no matter what the devil, the world, or even our flesh would do with it? Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.